Thank you very much. Thank you all for staying until the end. So I'd like to talk to you about the problem of particle acceleration in astrophysical jets and how the kink instability might play an important role in this process. So this work is done in collaboration with Jonathan Zrake at Columbia University and Federico Fuse at SLAC. And the topic I'm going to talk to you about today, I think, is very much in line with the focus of this conference. What I'm going to show you here is how a MHD scale, a macroscopic scale instability, the kink instability, couples, self-consistently couples to the microphysics associated with the detailed orbits of the particles to result in acceleration. Okay, so we're going to see how the self-consistent development of a global scale instability results in efficient particle acceleration. And I will discuss the implications of these results for AGN jets. So AGN jets are among the most powerful accelerators in the cosmos. Okay, these are relativistic outflows of plasma, magnetized outflows of plasma that emanate from supermassive black holes at the center of active galaxies. And we observe these things to be magnetized. We can even look at the field structure around these jets, and from the polarization of their emission, we can tell that these jets indeed have a magnetic field and even possess a tightly wound magnetic field. These jets also shine across the entire electromagnetic spectrum, from radio to TV gamma rays. And in particular, it's interesting to see that these jets emit, they present these features that they emit these bright knots. They have bright knots of emission, and these knots signal that particle acceleration is taking place in these regions. It's also been known for a while that simply due to the scale size of these jets and the magnetic field of these jets, that these are strong candidates to accelerate ultra-high energy cosmic rays, okay? And this conjecture has gained further support with the coincident detection, this multi-messenger observation of associated with the coincident detection of a flaring of gamma rays and a high-energy neutrino from a blazar. This neutrino is a tracer of cosmic ray acceleration, and so with these multi-messenger observations, it was possible to infer that blazar in particular was accelerating cosmic rays to several PV in energy. Now, while these are powerful accelerators, the detailed mechanisms, the particle acceleration mechanisms that operate here are still poorly understood. Acceleration due to shocks and magnetic reconnection have been invoked, but it's still not yet clear how these might operate efficiently in these environments. So one interesting possibility is the development of current-driven instabilities, like the helical kink instability, which directly acts on the helical field structure that we observe these jets to possess. Now the idea of the kink instability. So many people have looked into the kink instability as a possibility in these jets. There have been a number of theoretical and numerical studies, and more recently with global MHD simulations of the formation and launching and propagation of these jets. It's become, this has elucidated better how exactly this kink instability might operate in these jets. And for instance, these global MHD simulations by Bromberg and Chekhovskoy have shown that the kink instability can be triggered during the propagation, especially when the jet recollimates due to interaction with the ambient medium. And at this point, at this neck where it recollimates, it can excite something called an internal kink instability. This internal kink instability is an instability that doesn't disrupt the entire morphology of the jet, but it can dissipate the internal magnetic energy inside the system. And so when you see this transition from this red color to this lighter green color, that is a dissipation signal. They're observing here dissipation of magnetic field. However, it is not well understood, it is not known if or how this dissipation of magnetic energy due to the kink instability really results in the acceleration of energetic particles. And this is precisely what we've attempted to do in this work. So we've resorted to massively parallel particle and cell simulations to address this problem. Particularly, we've resorted, the simulations I'll be presenting to you were done using OSIRIS. And because of its efficient parallel scalability, we were able to perform really large-scale simulations of this problem, where we could achieve a good scale separation between the radius of the jet, which commands the scale at which this kink instability operates, and this is well separated from the gyroscale of thermal particles. So in our simulations, we consider a section of the jet in its rest frame, which is about to become kink unstable. Okay, and so we essentially model this section of the jet as a relativistic plasma pinch. Okay, so we consider an electron positron plasma pinch. We consider magnetic field geometry, a helical magnetic field geometry. This magnetic field geometry rises linearly and decays exponentially in our profiles, and this magnetic field is supported. This magnetic field is in pressure balance with the internal pressure of the gas. So the hoop stress here is pinching the gas, and we designed this in such a way that the internal pressure of the gas balances this hoop stress. And so it is in a hydromagnetic equilibrium. That's our starting point for our simulations. And so these equilibrium profiles are described by the following dimensionless parameters. So we can characterize this class of equilibria by a sigma over here, the relativistic magnetization, the pitch angle of between the poloidal component of the magnetic field and the toroidal component, and this dimensionless length scale, which is the ratio between the scale of the jet, of this kink unstable column, and the mean Larmor radius of thermal particles. Okay, and so this is a simulation that will illustrate the global dynamics of what's happening. Here to the left, we're going to look at the current density of the system. Here we have the magnetic field geometry. In this case, the simulation represents just a purely toroidal magnetic field geometry. And here on the right, we're going to see the electric fields that emerge as a consequence of the development of this instability, and that will accelerate particles. So we let the system go. Due to thermal fluctuations in the plasma, we're going to perturb this equilibrium, and we see the development of the kink instability. And at this stage, due to these motions of this magnetized plasma, we're producing inductive electric fields, and it forms this very, very interesting structure. We produce this coherent axial electric field at the core of the jet. This is actually something that has been observed in kinking current sheets by Zenitani and Oshino quite a few years ago. And here we're observing this in a full 3D geometry. And it turns out that we're going to see that this has quite some different consequences. We're going to see that this, in this three-dimensional geometry, particles can really accelerate much more efficiently than what was observed in two dimensions. So at this stage, we've got this coherent electric field and this highly tangled magnetic field. It is this field, it is at this point that we see strong dissipation of the magnetic field, and we see acceleration of particles, as I will show you in a moment. Now, this field structure doesn't persist forever. This just occurs over the transit time of these kink perturbations across the radius of the jet. So this occurs over a few dynamical times of the instability. And after that, the fields decay and particle acceleration ceases. And so here we're looking at a global view of the energetics in the system. Here in blue, we're looking at the dissipation of the magnetic field, whilst in dashed blue, we're looking at the rise, the transfer of this energy to particle kinetic energy, and this is being mediated by electric fields that arise due to the motion of this magnetized plasma. Okay, and at the end of our simulations, we see about 70% of the initial magnetic energy has been dissipated. Here to the right, we're looking exactly how this energy is distributed among particles. So we're looking here at the energy spectrum of the particles in our simulations. And we see that this magnetic dissipation results in the formation of energetic tails in the distribution. We see the formation of this power law tail. For these parameters, we found an index of about -2.75. And more importantly, we see that this power law extends to the confinement energy of the jet, to the energy beyond which the particle becomes unbound to the jet and simply escapes the accelerating region. Another important thing is that we see that most of the energy that was transferred to the particles resides in the non-thermal part of the tail, so it resides in the power law. About 50% of the total magnetic energy, the total initial magnetic energy, is transferred to the non-thermal tail. So this is a very efficient process. So to further elucidate how exactly these particles are accelerated, we've followed the trajectories of these particles and inspected the acceleration directly from the trajectories. And here we're looking at a representative sample of particles. So these gray lines are a sample of particle trajectories that we followed, and we're looking at their evolution in energy. And what this plot here is showing is that most here in red, we're looking at the energy, the highest energy gaining particle, and here in blue we're looking at the average, the evolution of the energy of the average of the population. And we're seeing that this energization is driven mainly by the perpendicular component of the electric field. So this is an ideal MHD field. So this is a minus V cross B field. And we also see that this coincides also with this coherent axial electric field. So it's predominantly this EZ field that's doing this acceleration. We see here on the right, I'm also showing that this acceleration also takes place in magnetically dominated regions. So the electric field is indeed always smaller than the magnetic field. These particles never experienced regions where non-ideal electric fields. That's what this is attempting to show. So we have here a situation where particles are being accelerated by a minus V cross B field, so an inductive electric field, and the electric field is always smaller than the magnetic field. So, and we see efficient acceleration. So this suggests that magnetic inhomogeneity, so inhomogeneous magnetic fields, must be important in order for particles to cross field lines efficiently and accelerate. And that's indeed what we see. We see that as a consequence of the development of this instability, we form a spectrum of magnetic fluctuations. The magnetic field becomes highly tangled in this coherent electric field, and this allows particles to displace efficiently. In fact, we see that these fields become highly tangled, so they acquire a lot of curvature, and this allows for very fast curvature drift motions of the particles across field lines and along the electric field. And this is what this plot here in the middle shows. We're looking at the three particles over here, we're showing that the initial energization of these particles is consistent with the work done by the electric field along their guiding center motion due to their curvature drift. At some point, the guiding center approximation breakdowns and particles simply nearly free stream along the electric field up to the confinement energy. And we also see here that the mean energization rate is proportional to the energy here on average. So this means that we're looking at a first order Fermi process here associated with the Kingston stability. Now what's very important is that we see that this physics scales to large system sizes. So what we've attempted to do is to progressively increase the size of these jets, so and progressively increase the separation between the jet radius and the Larmor radius of thermal particles. And here we're looking at the final spectrum of accelerated particles for different jet radii. So we're progressively increasing the jet radius. And what we see is that we preserve this power law structure, but the cutoff is extended to higher energy. So we see that we preserve this power law, and the power law is systematically extends to the confinement energy of the jet. That's what both of these plots show. And so it's on this basis that we believe that this might be a viable acceleration mechanism in astrophysical jets. Now, the indices of this power law depends somewhat on sigma, and we see that on the magnetization of the jet, and we see that for magnetizations ranging between 1 and 10, we see power law indices about between 2 and 3. And this, it turns out, is consistent with the X-ray spectral index from some of these knots, in particular from HST1, which is a very, very famous knot in M87. It turns out that these non-thermal populations are the ones that are required to explain the non-thermal synchrotron emission from these knots. In terms of the maximum particle energy, these systems are so large that the maximum possible energy that you can accelerate in these systems is indeed very, very large. So for HST1, for instance, the typical scale, the confinement energy of some of these knots is given by the scale of the knot, which is about parsec scales, and the magnetic field, which ranges between 1 and 10 milligauss. This sets a confinement energy of about 10 to the 18, 10 to the 19. And now, while electrons and leptons might not achieve this limiting energy because they are limited by radiation losses, protons and heavier ions will comfortably be accelerated to these energies. And so this appears, we believe that this kink instability is a viable acceleration mechanism for ultra-high energy cosmic rays in these environments. So I believe I've gone a bit over time. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'll take any questions.
So, it's a nice idea, it is to follow the kink instability for the acceleration. I'm a bit confused for one point. Mm-hmm. So, if you burn 50% of the magnetic field energy,
yes,
in a time scale that is kink and so on, into relativistic particles, especially electrons, maybe, this energy is immediately radiated away because of radiative losses of these particles. Mm-hmm. So how can you explain the propagation of these jets along very long scales? Which is the source of energy that you have behind the jet? Is a pointing flux? What is this?
Yeah, these are pointing flux dominated jets, and I just want to point out that the kink instability, as I understand it, that we're dealing with here is something called an internal kink. Okay, so this is this a global kink instability would disrupt the propagation of the jet. Okay, so we're dealing here with the kink instability that's called
this. So essentially, you are proposing that there is a very small filling factor where all this energy is dissipated, but
yes,
the total energy, integrated energy, survives.
Right. Right.
Very nice talk, thank you. The power law, why is it a power law?
Why is it a power law?
It means that there is some sort of scale independent process, which I don't understand what it is.
Well, the way I understand this is the following. I've shown that there is a multiplicative process happening here. So we have delta gamma proportional to gamma. So this is this. So at the acceleration delta gamma per delta t is proportional to gamma. So that is a first necessary ingredient.
And why is that?
Well, this is, at least I know that that multiplicative process can give rise to power laws. Maybe it's not a maybe I should be a bit more careful. Maybe not a necessary ingredient, but it is. I know that this a stochastic multiplicative process can give rise to power laws. So that coupled to
you need also escape.
There's also escape. And that is actually something that I've seen. So I've tried to formulate a Fokker-Planck type description to describe the acceleration, and I have actually extracted the effective advection and diffusion coefficients in energy, plus escape. And I've checked through, you know, so I've empirically I've numerically integrated the consequences of this Fokker-Planck, see the formation of the power law. I cannot give you a more detailed answer to why this is. I have just checked that things are consistent.
Okay, and if I may, another question. If you said that, well, if you just took an MHD simulation of a kink and threw a lot of test particles into it, sounds like you should see the same effect appear, because you're never invoked anything plasma specific. Like, you never had E dot B fields, you never, your E field was always under below the B field. So test particle orbit should just reproduce this directly.
Yeah. So one
is it true?
I think that's something very interesting to test. So my feeling is that for particles to be picked up from the thermal pool and be, so the injection problem might depend on details of the magnetic field spectrum at close to the gyro radius of thermal particles. So this might be a challenge in MHD. Another thing, I do think that this is an interesting problem to tackle with hybrid MHD approaches, because this is a problem where non-thermal particles acquire a very significant fraction of the energy. So there's the feedback of this non-thermal population of particles on the global dynamics of the system is an important one. So I do think that it is a nice problem to look at using these more, you know, these hybrid PIC MHD approaches.
Very interesting talk. So a large poloidal flux would stabilize the system with respect to kink. So the first question is, if I understood you correctly, you assumed a zero poloidal field for your simulation. So have you actually checked if you increase the poloidal field component, at which point you would not get this acceleration?
Yes, I have. So this, I've considered the effect of a very simple type of poloidal field. So a uniform poloidal field over the entire box, okay, on top of this, you know, as a simple case. And what we see, we're looking at over here different levels of poloidal field. And when this is even about 50% of the toroidal field, we still see persistent these power laws. At about 50%, we start to see some deviations, but we still see the development of this. We still see the acceleration of non-thermal particles. That's right. That if it is sufficiently large, this will, if it suppresses the kink, yes, then no acceleration ensues.
How is it possible to have kink without VZ? I don't think it's possible.
No.
If VZ is zero, then you don't have kink.
No. Kink is, you simply require toroidal field to have kink. I mean, this is exactly what we have.
The sausage will be much faster.
If an m equal one, the competition between m equals zero and m equal one mode is something I still have to understand a little bit better. But I know that it depends on the details of the profiles of the current. Okay, it turns out that here I am not seeding the instability. This is being fed. The system is being perturbed by thermal noise, and we see that the m equal one mode is the fastest growing mode here.
So, so you said that your simulation is in the jet frame.
Yeah.
So you don't have a shear.
No.
Don't you expect the shear to stabilize the kink with respect to the ambient medium?
So coupling these two things together, I don't know if it would couple. I have to think here. So what would suppress the KH, so magnetic field lines parallel to the velocity would suppress KH. Like magnetic fields that are perpendicular to the shear would not. So yes, I do see the issue there.
Generally, you have the extra pressure.
So this will depend on the shears, on the shear profiles. I have not considered here the effect of shear. Right. Yes.
Then there is no much energy there.
Okay, let's continue the discussion after the session. Let's conclude the session now. Let's thank all the speakers of the session.
Thank you very much.
So I wanted to make a very last few words. I think our conference has reached its nonlinear saturation, and I wanted to thank everybody, the speakers, the posters, the attendees, for your participation and proving that this is a really exciting field to work in. There are a lot of interesting, outstanding problems and a lot of progress being made. This conference, however, would not be possible without two people whose efforts and a lot of emotional energy went into organization of the program. So I wanted to thank Matt Kuntz and Damiana Caprioli for, and of course KITP for giving us this opportunity. Quick announcement, if you're in town tomorrow, you have nothing better to do, you can join us here. We'll be doing our thing at the program. So if you're in town, you want to join some discussions on plasma astrophysics, let me know, and you're welcome to come by and spend the day at the Institute.
Let's thank also the real master of both the program and the conference. Thank you, Anatoly.